People, welcome back to the Arsenio's ESL podcast. Guys, you know what? If this is your first time tuning in, man, I just want to say big thank you to all of you who are tuning in. But it's not about me. It's about this wonderful individual from Rio de Janeiro. You know what? Her name goes by the name of Ariane Del Melo. She is out there in Berlin, Germany, and she is here to talk all kinds of crazy things. So thank you so much, Ariane, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. So let's get dirty.
Let's get dirty. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
Let's talk about cultural.
Yeah, shock. Man. Oh my God. First and foremost, I just want you to lay this out. I want you to lay the foundation. So wherever you want to start and wherever you want to finish, and then we're just gonna go, and then there it is.
Lord, how to start? So do you want to know something specific? How people ask me a lot, why Germany?
Yeah. Like, born and raised in Rio, and then why Germany? Like Brazil to Germany, that's a hell of a jump.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what people think, okay, maybe Spain or Portugal. So my grandfather was Portuguese, so people think Portugal. Even Italy, but Germany?
Right.
I mean, what? I get that one a lot.
Right.
I get that one really a lot. It's fun. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, So I remember I just recently saw a photo. You were 18 years old, and I was kind of reading the
19
years old. And then I was kind of reading it, and then students barged in on me and started making all this noise. But somewhere around that age, I'm guessing that's when you made the jump.
That's when I made
the
jump.
Okay, so what happened?
So first time I came to Germany, I was 17.
Okay.
So what happened is my father is a Marine officer. Oh. He's a Brazilian Marine officer. So he is everywhere across the globe since I was born.
Sure.
And he had friends in Hamburg, Germany.
Okay.
And they were a couple. They are a couple. I don't know if they're still alive.
Right.
It's a long story.
Yeah, it's a long story.
I don't have anything to do with that. It's a long story.
Yeah.
They are an elderly couple. They had a son at the time when I was 17. He was 30 and he was married and left the house and they were alone. They were in for some company. And we connected very well, me and this woman who is Brazilian and her husband was German. Mm-hmm. And she really wanted to get to know me. Mm. So we've been talking back and forth since I was 14, I think. And then the first jump I made was from Rio to Bahia, to Salvador. That's the first thing
in
Brazil. Yeah.
Bahia.
In Brazil. So my family means my father, my mom, my sister, and myself. We moved from Rio to Salvador first. Uh-huh. And when I was 16, turning 17.
Right.
And I wanted to be a journalist at the time. I am an actress. I'm a professional actress and director.
Ooh.
This is also a long story.
Sure.
But it's something else. I always wanted to be a journalist. So I went to the university and I started this whole new life in Salvador, which was the first cultural shock of my life. Very interesting. When you come from a very big country, from a broad country like Brazil, you know that yourself. The U.S. is nothing different. Mm-hmm. It's a huge country and everything's different. So if you go from state to state, you have another country.
Yeah, I've noticed that here in Thailand too.
So if you go from state to state, you have another country. The cultural difference is so insane. So from Rio to Bahia, mm-hmm, was the first cultural shock of my life.
Wow.
I had some issues there because of my color, funny enough. People considered me white. And I had a problem because I was white.
No way.
And this is so weird. It was so weird. It was really weird because I was really looking forward to go there because it was one of my dreams. And people treated me like dirt. It was awful. It was really awful because it was disappointing and everything. So my father had these friends. And they wanted to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a public university. It's one of the things Brazilians really want to go to. So you spend a lot of money to go to a good school, so you can't afford to be in a non-paid university because it's a kind of status thing.
Oh, boy.
This is how Brazil works. So you can't. So you have the right not to pay for a university because it gives you a status as a state university, and only rich people get in because we need to pay a private school to get in.
Oh hell!
And
no.
That's the system. That's the system. It's we don't need to talk about that.
God.
It's awful.
Oh, I got a lot of Brazilians that listen to my podcast too, and some of them are in Rio.
Wrong.
Oh my goodness gracious!
The system is all wrong. So you have to study really, really, really hard, and the public schools won't give you when you need to get into these universities.
Sure.
And it's really a struggle, and it's crazy, and people, yeah, it's bad. Mm. But I got into a new university and I wanted to study journalism, and they striked because they're public universities and people are not getting paid, so they stopped working.
No, really?
Yeah, really. I skipped one semester, and it was very amazing because I didn't have to do the whole first 6 months of university, and it was, oh my God, prodigy or something. But then I started studying. I think after 6 months or something, they just striked.
Oh my God.
So that was the time. And I was so depressed because I didn't have my friends. I was in a total different city. I'm a very cheerful person, but I am a kind of an introvert. So it's not that easy for me to make close friends.
Right.
I have the ones that I have, but I can socialize with people very well. But when it comes to letting people into my life, mm-hmm. it's a tough cookie for me. Mm. So it was tough being there. And I had only one friend. Mm. And he was the one who said, hey, so you have friends in Germany. I want to get out of the country. So let's just do that. And I said, okay. I mean, when you're 17, whatever.
So
I didn't want to leave the country, though. I just wanted to travel.
At the age of 17, to Europe.
To Europe. I mean, why not? Wow. You can just go there, check out a beautiful city, go visit these friends of my father's and take pictures and then come back home and hope that everything goes from there.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a little bit how we went. I came to Germany, to Hamburg, mm-hmm. which is a very beautiful city, and I got to know the city, and she told me in a very creepy way one day, this woman, she said, but I think your destiny is here, and one day you will
crazy
stay. I went back and forth from Brazil to Germany, from Germany to Brazil, until I started studying Germany. So studying German here.
You started studying German, the language, okay?
Studying German, yeah, to learn the language. And I wanted to study here. I mean, I didn't have my college anymore. They striked.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah, and then I lost my place in the university because my university in Rio forgot to send me one sheet of paper, really, one document. They didn't send me a document. I sent a lawyer, which is one of my uncles. I sent my lawyer there to get this document. They didn't want to give it to me because they said she's not a student anymore. We don't have to, and they don't have to. They could have, but they didn't have to. So they didn't, and I lost my place. I lost my spot. I lost my spot in a university. Now, you think that for a 17-year-old that studied 3 years to get in a university, losing a spot like that.
Wow.
It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, I bet.
No, it wasn't pretty, and I didn't know what to do with my life. And then I said, okay, if I have to start over, I can try it from here. And if it doesn't work, I go back to my parents because my parents always said, the world is there. You just do what you have to do. And if something goes really wrong, you can always come back home.
Okay, win-win.
This is very awesome from my parents. They always supported me and my sister.
Sure.
Until today, I am 31. I have a kid. And if I need to come back home, my father will pay me a ticket and I will go back home. So this is pretty amazing.
Mm.
And that's how things happened. The first year in Germany it's like a blur. When you are the first time in a country that you don't know, everything is new, everything is fun, seeing snow for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I gave a talk on migration. So I'm an actress and I'm a speaker. I train public speakers. Yeah. That's my main business.
That's crazy.
And I gave a talk on migration and I talked about that. I cannot recall my first day in Germany. I don't know how I got here when I was 19. I don't know. I cannot tell you that. It's gone from my memory. I don't know if it's because it was very close to the death of my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really close and everything that is around that time is gone from my memory. It doesn't exist.
Mm.
So the first year was,
it was just a blur. It was just, it went through real quickly. Obviously going into a deep place. Yeah. It's just like me living in Australia. I mean, it was really quick for me too, because living in Melbourne for 3 months, you know, Sydney for 9, I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. Being a dental assistant, I was like, this is terrible. But it was a great cultural shock, even for me, going to an English speaking country. You know, I could see how things go by real quickly and whatnot. Man, 6 years here in Thailand now.
Wow.
So, you could only imagine after you heard some of my stories about what's in the air out here. But, so after the first year, what ended up happening after that? So you went through a significant death, of course, in your family and whatnot. And then after that, how did you get back on your feet and, you know, in terms of studying German and everything else that...
So I had to learn the language, because when I came to Germany, I couldn't speak a word of German. I could just speak English.
Right.
So the first thing you have to do is to learn the language. It's law in the country since 2007 that every person that comes here willing to stay has to learn the language.
Wow.
Which I think, personally, as a foreigner, I think, God, it's the least.
Exactly. Yes.
Really, it's the least I can do is to communicate with the locals, absolutely, with the native people. I mean,
agreed.
What the hell?
Yes.
Honestly.
Agreed.
Am I allowed to say this?
Of course. Yeah, don't worry. My listeners, they'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was what? Where was I now? Before I said a bad word.
Yeah. You said okay. Learning the language. Yeah. Now from 2007, everyone.
Yeah, it's forced. Law.
Do you have to pay it's money, or how country. Do you learn?
So you have schools from the state.
Okay.
And you have schools that are partially paid from the state, and then you have to pay a little bit private, because they are better and more intensive and you learn faster. So after being 7 months in Germany, I got my first job.
Nice.
So I was just, I had to get things going. And my first job was at a kindergarten.
Mm.
As helping the children with the English.
Right.
Because I said, okay, I'm going to help them with the English. But they were all German-speaking children.
Ooh, so how was that?
That was very important, I think, for my German, because kids, they have no filter. Okay? They are just right away. If I cannot understand what you're saying, I'm going to say it right to your face.
Damn.
So you please pronounce it better. And it was very good for my German to be around those kids.
Absolutely. Me too.
So I was there for 2 years, mm-hmm. and I worked as I don't take care of children professionally, but I do have my way with them. So I did everything that the kindergartners did, and I wrote stories for the kids nice. And everything. It was very nice. Then I got a second job and start selling on a store, selling clothes, ooh, which is something that I love to do, by the way.
Right.
I love to be in stores and selling one-on-one. It used to be really cool, really amazing. Mm-hmm. But of course, by then I was here, I think, after 1.5 years, I started asking myself, because I'm a very ambitious person.
Sure. Yeah.
And I started asking myself, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? I mean, not that working a kindergarten is something bad. Please don't understand that. It was just not my dream. It was not what I wanted to do with my life.
Your purpose, right?
I was very ambitious. I was so ambitious. I was a dude. I was awful to my boyfriends when I was a teenager because nothing came between me and my career dreams.
Sure.
Nothing. And nobody. So I was very mean at the time. Because if somebody tried to get in my way because I need more attention, I say, no, you're not getting it because I need to make some money. That was me. That was me as a 15-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. And so I was here and it was my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, oh my God. And where we go from here? Your German is not good enough that you tried. I tried to apply for the university, but I knew that I didn't have the German to be accepted at a university per se.
Sure.
And I said, oh my God. And now? What are you going to do now?
Right.
And it was tough because I had a relationship that went, this is a very ugly story, and went out very ugly. I had a relationship with a German young man to that time, and he had panic attacks. He had some psychiatrist problems and not psychological, schizo. Really. He was really sick. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So, sick. He has this lying disease and
lying,
crazy,
like lying.
There is a disease that people cannot. They're compulsive liars.
Compulsive lies.
This
is
pathological.
Sure.
You can.
Yep.
You cannot. And he believes in his own lies, and he's a very charismatic person. And I was an introvert, and I was a foreigner here, and I backed off, and people started believing what he was telling about me, and it was a very terrible situation for me at the time. And I was feeling at a very low point in my life. So I had two options. So I asked myself, what do you really want to do? And then you go back to the thing that you love the most, which is the theater. I grew up in the theater. I played in Rio. I wrote my own plays. I got an award for a play that I wrote. I won contest with my plays, and I have over 500 hours of stage in my young life. So this is the thing that I knew.
Yep.
And I said, okay, I wanted to feel safe, I think, also to go back to something that you know.
Right.
Then I said, okay, if you get accepted by a performing arts school, by an acting school, you stay. If you don't, you go back home. That was the thing.
Right.
The thing is, me not willing to go back home doesn't have anything to do with I don't want to go back to Brazil. Because different from many people that leave their countries, I never wanted to leave Brazil. Never. I am completely in love with this beautiful, warm, and full of culture country where I was born into. And I didn't want to leave it. I know we have tons of problems. And today I'm happy that I got to raise my child somewhere else.
Sure.
Which is better. Mm-hmm. But I still love the country from the bottom of my heart. Mm. So it didn't have nothing to do with, I don't want to go back to Brazil. It had something to do with, I left and I wanted to achieve something. I cannot live with coming back home and empty-handed.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I couldn't do that to myself. I knew I couldn't leave. Couldn't live with that. Just having an opportunity and letting
yourself
go.
Yes.
Just giving up. I'm not the kind of person that gives up. And that was the thing. I got accepted by the two schools where I applied for. I chose one. And there where it all went down like crazy. These end up to be the worst years of my life.
Oh, why?
Because the acting profession is very deep in your psyche.
Sure, sure.
It goes in your substance. It makes you crazy. It tries to drive you crazy in some way. So especially here, I'm a classic trained actress. Means that we go to the bottom of history of theater. We go to the bottom of Stanislavski and method acting and all the other methods that it is. And people are very demanding. I was in a school full of bullies.
Wow.
I've been bullied a lot. I've seen other people being bullied worse than I was being bullied.
Was it normally the foreigners?
Excuse me?
The foreigners? The foreigners that were being bullied? Or was it, you know, just
everybody? No. Just because they were just being
just bullies.
Bad people and awful human beings to each other. That's it.
They weren't.
No, but I have been bullied by a teacher.
Oh, my God.
Not just me. We had another Brazilian in my class. And he refused to teach us.
Wow.
Because we had an accent in German.
You had an accent in German.
I have a Brazilian
accent in
German. Speaking German, I have an accent because I am from another country.
Yikes.
It's just like I have an accent when I speak English.
Wow.
It's normal.
Yeah.
We put the melody of the tone of our language into the language that we are speaking.
Sure.
This is normal. So you can train this out of your, but it takes time, it takes effort, and it's not that easy. You need to learn this, how the language actually sounds and how the machine works, how you're supposed to.
Right.
It's hard, it's difficult.
Right.
And I was learning it to that time. It was my first year. And he refused to teach us because of the accent. It was a huge thing. It was very nice from the owners of the school that said, nope, not here. We are diverse. We have everybody from everywhere. And this is BS. He's out.
Nice.
So they actually fired the teacher. Yeah, that was awesome.
That's beautiful.
That was really nice.
That is beautiful.
That is beautiful. They fired the teacher because he was harassing people with accent.
Wow.
People from other ethnicities.
They don't tolerate that bullshit.
They don't tolerate that. And this, and I was, wow, this is big. Thank you. Thank you. But the whole situation, and I had to work, of course, because I had my apartment, I had to live. And the years in school, I had to work partially and go to school partially, and I still had the thing with the accent. Of course, after the situation, I was afraid to speak.
Right.
And it made my whole acting very hard.
Sure.
Because if how are you supposed to act, you're not supposed to, you don't want to speak.
Right.
You're just listening to your own accent.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of drove me crazy. This and having this ex-partner of mine working in the same school. Long story, you don't need to talk about that, but it was a very bad move and the owners got to realize that too. But he pulled me down because that was my world and he didn't have anything to do with it.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It was a very bad situation. It was a very bad situation. Then I started to go down with my confidence. I started to go down with my self-esteem and my love for life.
Sounds like
I never thought of myself as a very talented person. Oh my God, I need to do this because I am the best actress in the world.
Right.
Most actors, especially the good ones, think they suck. Because it's such a difficult profession. Sure. Oh, so yeah. Until you step on the stage for the premiere, you think you don't get your character right. You don't get your role right. And you get in there and you play and you still don't know if it was right.
Right.
So it's very difficult. You're always testing yourself, which is good. After I got back to who I am, it was good that this all happened. But I had a low point. I was down, like really down. And I was one of six people that got to graduate from a class of 20. We were 20 and only six graduated. That's how hard it is to be an actor, folks.
Wow.
People give up. Yeah. People give up. Because the industry is awful and broke and disgusting.
Damn. Is it practical? Like, everything you learned, especially in that school, did that end up translating to practicality in the real world in terms of what you do?
Absolutely.
Every day?
Oh, okay. I tell everybody, okay. Everyone in this world should take performing arts classes. Not to become an actor. This is different what I did. But to figuring out who are you, mm-hmm. what do you want to do, to learn how to cut loose, to learn how to lose yourself, to find yourself, find that inner child and all these strengths that we lost along the way. It's wonderful. And I think everyone should do that. Everyone should go through theater.
Right.
You can use theater to do everything and anything, to sell better, to communicate better. You can cope better because you learn how to deal with your feelings. You can show vulnerability and you can hold yourself. It's wonderful for your posture, the way you move.
Charisma,
it's good for everything.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Only if you want to do this as a profession, especially in a country like Germany. Germany is different from America when it comes to acting, because you have a huge industry in the U.S. And if you ask a caterer in a restaurant what he does, what is his profession, he's going to say he's an actor. In Germany, people are ashamed to say that they cannot make money with acting. So acting is a huge product, but you cannot make much money with acting because it's a broke industry.
Wow.
So it's tough. It's tough to do this here, and the culture is not very good for creative people.
Right.
So, it's an industry country. If you want to run a business, you were right here. They're going to teach you everything that you need to know to make money and get structure and be a business person. But when it comes to creativity, it's really hard. And I'm 100% intuitive person. I had to learn the hard way how to do other things. And being here and having to deal with a country that is very open when it comes to religions, which is good. But I come from a country which is, it's Catholic.
Yep,
it's a Christian country. I am not, I have to say, I don't resonate with it. I respect it, but I don't resonate. It's not my thing. The Christianity, and all the Brazilians go, oh my God, she's gonna end up in hell.
Yeah. It sounds like my mom. You going to hell. My sister would say, you going to hell. I'd be like, well, let me go. You know what I'm saying? You know, put the
Oscar
chains
Wilde
on me,
would
you know?
Say, I don't want to go to heaven. None of my friends out there.
I love that
this
one too.
Is- That's amazing. It's one of my favorite quotes ever. So I am, for the kind of personality that I have,
yeah,
it's really good to be in a country that is so open, but it's open and it's dry in this way. So it took this mysterious thought, it took my mystery away, because Brazil also has the Afro-Brazilian religions.
Oh, right, right.
They come from Africa, yeah. So it's called Candomblé, Ketu, Umbanda.
Whoa, that's amazing.
It's incredible. I love them. I love them. I love them. They come from Africa and they were brought. So the slave trade.
Yeah, yeah.
They brought this wonderful culture, and it's very mysterious, and it's based on nature and these gods and entities. I think it's fascinating, and the magic. I love that. So in Brazil, it's very complicated to talk about this, and people call you a witch. And
oh wow,
it's hard. It's tough. It's tough. So Brazil is kind of like America in these kind of situations. Yeah, so it's
yeah,
really
yeah,
tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough for anybody that has any kind of different thinking of religiously.
Yep.
To live.
Yeah.
That there really, it's really difficult. So it was a nice thing in Germany, but because I don't have anything here, I lost my essence. I lost the touch to the dark side of these mystery religions. Mm-hmm. I write dark fantasy novels because I'm a published author. Yeah, I have.
You're an author too.
I'm an author too, yeah.
Ah, the jack of all.
I have this connection to these dark worlds, different worlds, the beyond, opening the door to other dimensions and seeing what's happening and the other side and afterlife. And I love these kind of things and playing around with it. So when you are in Germany, where everything is very down to earth, woo, it drove me crazy, because if I think that this is it, oh my God, I don't want to be here.
Right.
I don't even know if I believe really in being an afterlife and heaven and hell and what is all called.
Right.
But I prefer to think that there is a possibility that there is more than this.
Yeah. I agree.
Or it's so claustrophobic in this world that I couldn't live with that.
Right.
This was one of the things that got me down the most. It was the being neutral when it comes to entities and beyond and mystery. Germany got me really, really sick in the inside. It's not their fault, it's my fault, because I thought I had to adapt in a way that nobody was expecting from me.
Mm.
I thought I had to be like the girls in Hamburg, because the Hamburg girls that were born there, the German girls, and I had to dress the same as they dress, and I'm a very feminine person. I have this Brazilian side, the Latina side with me, and I, like, you can see, people cannot see, but you can see the earrings the collars in my fingernails and a little bit of makeup, and I love that, and I stopped doing it. I stopped being that, because I thought, okay, I need to look like these girls to be accepted.
Right.
Nobody wanted that for me. I thought that myself.
Mm, okay.
I thought that myself. So, and then I started to trying to be something that I wasn't, and I was losing my colors, and I lost my colors, and I lost everything. I just fell in a hole.
Mm.
And that was it.
And so, okay.
I didn't know what to do.
So it was just a plunge all the way down.
All the way down until I hit rock bottom.
Like super rock bottom, right.
Like super rock bottom.
And then?
And I would really literally sit on my couch. basically the whole day.
And just emotionally.
Thinking about how miserable I was. Still not willing to go back home for the same reasons. There was some flame inside of me telling me that you didn't come all this way to go back home empty-handed.
Yep.
This little voice never shut up. Mm. Never. And I was there lying on my couch and I didn't know what to do. And my mystery was gone. My movies were gone. I stopped reading my horror things. They are part of me. Stephen King and Neil Gaiman and Edgar Allan Poe and these people, they are part of my life.
Yeah.
I stood it 7 years in a school that used to be, how you call it, this church for women. How they call it? I forgot. That used to be a Christian, something like
Mormon.
I forgot how it's called. A monastery or something?
Monastery. Yeah.
Yeah, used to be something like that. Convent? I don't know how they call it. And it used to be that. And it was facing a cemetery. That's how I grew up 7 years, smelling dead people. Because they would burn the bones. They would burn the bones and the smell would come in and you had to close. Yeah, really.
Was this in Brazil or Germany?
Kidding. Brazil.
Oh, okay.
No kidding. I grew up like this, so it explains a lot.
Yeah, with the Dark Novel, Stephen King.
You face a cemetery for 7 years, it kind of changes you. Mm. And I love that. I love this mystery. I love hanging out on cemeteries until today. I just do that.
Oh, wow.
On my spare time.
You have a dark side. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I do. But it's not because I'm a bad person. I feel drained to it. I need that. I always say I need to walk hand in hand with death so I know how to treasure my time.
That's a very
because
good
if
point.
If I keep thinking that death is far away, it's never coming, I'm not gonna make the best out of
what's right now. Beautiful saying. Yes, yeah.
So I really need to face it. So I can show you this, so you can see what this is.
Can you pronounce that? Can you pronounce that? Like right there on the front page of that? Can you pronounce it?
This, yeah, of course. Heute ist nicht dein Tag, morgen leider auch nicht.
That German is crazy.
That's German. It's called Pechkeks, which means misfortune cookies.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he is saying today is not your day, tomorrow isn't either. So that's what they say.
For those of you wondering, she just showed me that, of course, on video. That's why it's such a great conversational tone that we have going right now, because we're looking at each other and our expressions and whatnot. That German is, whoa, what a language that is. What a damn language.
It's awful. Now you imagine that I had to do that on stage.
Wait. So you acted, obviously you can't act, you know, speak in Brazilian on stage. I thought you would speak like, you know, English.
No, German.
Oh my goodness. She's over here. She's a Brazilian actress, but she's acting, speaking German in whoa!
Yes. That's the thing.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
That is the thing. Theater in German in Germany as a Brazilian person. I would never do that again. I just did that because I was 19 when I came here. I didn't know it better.
That must have been a blessing in disguise, so...
It was. Today, it was. So I had this very low period of time when I got back to my novels. I used to write when I was young. I got awards. I have two awards and one contest for writing. And writing is such a big part of me that I forgot. I just didn't use anymore. I tried therapy, but it doesn't work for me, though I find the concept of therapy amazing. And my novels are deeply psychological, but I cannot deal with therapy because I just work in images. I'm a very visual person. So if you're talking to me, nothing's going to happen. You need to show me something.
Okay.
I need to see it. So that's why it didn't work for me. when I had the idea to get an old novel that I have been working on since I was 16 and just play around a little on blogs and on Facebook, and never know what can happen. I just wanted to write again, and then I did.
Right.
I started writing, and I said, you know what? I sent a blogger. I said, could you read it and tell me what you think? Mm. She was a literature critic, so the blogs are very, very big in the scene. They are replacing the magazines now, mostly, and it's fun. And she said, I think it's great. You go deeper, but I would buy it. I would read it. And I said, oh, okay, that's nice. Okay, so I got a little deeper, and I said, you know what? You're going to send it to publishers. The worst that can happen, they're going to say no, but so what? Right. I wasn't expecting anything. So I sent to bazillion publishers, and then I got an email from somebody that wanted to give me a contract. Yeah. And I said, okay.
Yeah, you did not expect that, did you?
I did not expect that at all. At all. I did not expect that.
And was this
at all.
And where was this specific company from that was, you know, offering you a contract?
From São Paulo.
My favorite people in the world.
From São Paulo. They wrote me and they said, hey, we would like to publish your book. Uh-huh. And that's how it started. By that time, I came to Germany with a lot of energy before I lost who I was. And I found it again. But before I lost that, I had this energy of, I'm just doing it. And if it's not happening, but I'm doing it. So I called, really, I was 1.5 years here. Mm. I called a publisher and I said I wanted an internship in their editorial office to write articles for the magazine. Hey, my German wasn't that. German? My German wasn't fit for nothing like that.
Right.
Okay. But I wanted that internship because I wanted to become a journalist.
Wow.
And I convinced the man that I would make that work. And I did. Wow. I did. I found somebody in the magazine that would correct my text. So she would read it and she would tell me what was wrong. And she would just make it better, write it better. And I got featured in this magazine. So yeah, that's where it began. Let me see if I can show you now. I don't have them here. I would show you my press cards. I have two.
Right. Wow.
And they were, yeah, and that was because I had nothing to lose. So he could have said no, and so what? So it's no. From that editorial office, I worked in 3 different editorial offices in Germany. And then I got published. Yeah, I got published and I got my press cards. Now I'm a member of 2 different journalistic associations in Germany. Official member of the German press.
So are you a full, are you perfect at the...
I don't have a life. I don't have a social life.
Oh my God. Wait, so can you write German perfectly? Like...
Yeah. But I've been here 12 years now.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I've been here 12 years now. I've been practicing a lot. So yeah, I can. Now I write reviews for theater plays. So people invite me, so I write and I publish the reviews about the theater place. And this is all, I came after I wrote this first book and I got published. I had a down again because I didn't want to be the center of attention and I was afraid to get the success, so I had a down again. And then I wrote a second book based on Hotel California by the Eagles. Because I'm obsessed with that song.
Right.
I'm obsessed with it. Since I'm a little girl, I really literally saw that these people in this hotel were dead. And this woman was a sort of death fairy banshee-like creature.
Yeah.
And when I when I read the real meaning of the song, that it's about the music industry in California, I was so disappointed.
You thought it was something much worse, much more demonic.
I said I have to write this myself. And I did. I did. And this is the novel that really got my brand going. And since this novel exists, I am back to what I used to be.
Nice.
And the time in Germany that it cost me to go back to who I was, about 10 years.
Wow.
It took me 10 years to go back on track. And these 10 years have taught me a lot. I did a lot, though I was depressive, though I lost my self-esteem. But I had, I don't know if I did it because I had, my family had my back. Right. My father always said, if you need to come home, you come home. I did some wrong things like everybody else do wrong things. I made mistakes along the way. But today I have my own business and I use everything that I've learned and I did in these 10 years and I put in this business, including the dark side. Including the dark side. But it took me 10 years and I came to a city in Germany that is very, very, very different from who I am. They are very, they're very close people. It's a cold city and people don't speak a lot and they are very work, work, work. If you don't have a 9-to-5 job, a good paid 9-to-5 job, you kind of don't fit in. And I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be that. So what's the time that changed everything for me in Germany was when I decided to move to Berlin. That was it. Today I can say I'm good here. So I belong here somehow. But it took me 10 years to figure out that I wasn't the wrong city. I was in the wrong environment. Though the people there are very nice, I cannot say that I suffered any kind of harassment from the Germans. They didn't. They were so nice to me the whole time. They gave me jobs. I had every job that I ever applied for. I went to an interview and I got the job.
Wow.
They gave me jobs. They gave me opportunities. They offered me friendship. They were nice to me. So Germans are very nice people. I know people out there. So in Brazil, it's not different. So when you say Germans, you think of industry. You think of a powerful country, but you don't think of a country being beautiful in its landscape. It's a beautiful country. It's green. Germany is made of forests, made of woods. It's green. It's a very green country. It's a beautiful country with very nice people that welcome you. We're having crisis right now about migration, but this is happening around the world and not only in Germany.
Right.
So people tend to put Germany as the bad guy because of its history. But that is just not true. It's just not true. I had a much worse time than I should have had because I escalated myself. I put too much pressure on myself about it. It didn't have to be that hard, but I chose hard ways. I chose to be a creative person. I chose to be an entrepreneur. I chose to not follow the rules, and I would have had a tough life anywhere in the world, especially in Brazil, I think.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. What a story. So, I mean, for anyone, I mean, you know, I was actually, I've been teaching at a place not too far from here. And one of my students, his mother was hosting a young boy from Italy. And I'm like, oh, okay, so how's everything going? And, you know, again, I speak just a little bit Spanish because, of course, mi mamá es puertorriqueño. So, hey, you saw that. I know. Hey, okay, you speak a little Spanish too, right?
I learned Spanish, but when you don't practice it, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, the biggest takeaways, especially for me being here in Thailand, of course, learning things really quickly. You know, my closest friend, especially out here, when I first moved here, was an Irish guy. That probably wasn't the best thing to do, being in a country where I need to learn the language as fast as I can. So people wouldn't, like, take all my money, you know what I'm saying? But I made all the wrong decisions, and of course, you know, at the very beginning in terms of, like, who I'm around. But then I started realizing, started picking up phrases and, you know, and stuff like that. So, all in all, what are the three biggest takeaways that, or the three biggest things you learned that you can, of course, you know, relate to everyone else out there who are probably facing things in terms of, like, cultural shocks or cultural differences and stuff like that?
As cliche as it sounds, home is where your heart is. Mm. So if you are happy to be where you are, why can't you make this your homeland? Mm. I had a friend, he's a German, he was a German, and he's unfortunately gone. But he told me once that Germany was my chosen homeland. I chose to be here. Yeah. Mm. It's my chosen home country.
Right.
Because this is the home. It is not going to be easy. Mm. So if you are somebody that is thinking about living abroad, it's not going to be easy, especially us in Brazil. I don't know how it is anymore. I have been gone for a long time. But people have this idea of living in Europe that everything's going to be amazing and everybody is just sitting in cafes and everybody has money and it's the life is going to be so much better. It's not like that. Mm. It's not like that. You are going to miss home. It doesn't matter if you like Brazil or not. You are going to miss home. It's going to be tough because you are going to feel less worth than the people from the country because you are different and you cannot speak the language as perfectly. Mm. Your self-esteem is going to be tough. So know that it's going to be hard, but it can become very good. By working on yourself.
That's it. Personal development.
Believe that you can do this. Learn along the way. Make friends. Don't be alone. Don't make my mistake of being alone. I let two people in my life, two girls, which I'm friends with until today. And funny enough, one is part Russian and the other one is part Peruvian, so yeah, they half German, half Peruvian, and the other one is half German, half Russian. Amazing. And they are my best friends in Germany. Since I have these girls and I found my way back to my girls in Brazil, my friends in Brazil, I start getting better. So you don't isolate yourself.
Mm.
And learn it. Take this opportunity and make the best of it because you can. Mm. And once you made that jump, nothing can stop you.
Mm.
Really. And the last one is, hey, you are not glued to the floor of the place where you are.
Yes. Yeah.
You are not a tree. You are not a tree.
Yes, if you're not a tree. I love that saying.
If you are really unhappy,
go the hell out of there, please.
Get the hell out.
I do that all the time. Oh.
Because I always say one day more on the face of this earth is one day less. You don't have much time.
I know.
God, make it happen.
Yeah. That is just beautiful. Perfectly said, Ariane. Oh my goodness gracious, how can everyone get in contact with you if they are interested in what you got going on? And of course, everyone, the links will be in the description.
I have my website, which is beautifully made, and I'm so it's so beautiful. I have people doing this. It's so beautiful that I want to live in it. And my website is all about my speaker agency and my coaching and what I've been doing. It's arianedemelo.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Facebook. You can arianedemelo.com. And you can everything together. You can hit me a friendship request on Facebook. You can follow my page and you can follow me on Instagram as the branding director. That's the name of my brand for coaching speakers.
Awesome, guys. With that being said, man, thank you so much for joining me tonight. That was a long, extensive, and so many different ways. Man, you took us on a journey. That was fantastic. I didn't even know. I was like, oh my goodness, look at the time. Yeah, man. So that was awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Didn't even saw that. Oh my God. And I kept talking and talking and talking. And
I was going to let you. I was just sitting here like, oh my God, I'm entertained. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh, that is good. That's good. Thank you.
But I do hope everyone can actually take something back from this. I have a lot of listeners from Belo Horizonte.
Oh, Belo Horizonte, yeah.
I can't say in the Brazilian
accent. Belo Horizonte, yeah. Belo Horizonte.
Ooh, that Brazilian boy, that's crazy. What? You know, because I'm so
If you go to Brazil once, you need to go there. This is Minas Gerais. And the food is one of the best you're going to get in your life.
I heard about that. Where's Manaus? What's that? Manaus?
Manaus is in Amazon. This is in the Amazon forest. Whoa. Yeah.
Hey, is it dangerous to go in there?
Dude, if you're not afraid of animals that can kill you.
Man, everything kills everything in there. You know what? I'm scared. Us black folks, we don't do that.
It cannot be worse than Australia, though.
Yeah, I lived there for a year. Oh my goodness gracious. I came literally 3 feet from the most poisonous spider in the world. That was after I had to kill one that was probably a ruler stick in diameter. Oh my God. And of course, I was living with Colombian housemates at the time, and they were saying, no, we don't want to kill that spider because it catches flies. I said, you goddamn fool. The spider is about as big as this goddamn book, and you don't want to kill it? Oh my God. I'm telling you, I attracted some of the most ridiculous people in the... Ooh, anyways, boy. I
but
go
this
on those
is the
moments.
Thing, the energy that you send. So people, if you are thinking about going abroad, this is going to happen anywhere where you are. The energy that you send are going to attract the people. So
yes.
Make sure your energy is like high level.
Yeah, like high level or like good level, okay? Because apparently mine was high level, but at the bad level. And the next, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, let's just keep big poisonous spiders on our balcony. And in case they want to eat us one night, it'll be all good. We'll go into the next afterlife. Just stupid. Anyways, Ariane, man, I want to go to Brazil. How about Sao Paulo? Before we hurry up and end this, how about Sao Paulo?
So the thing is, I am from Rio de Janeiro and they are from Sao Paulo. And this fight between cariocas and paulistas are very well known because we say that cookies and biscuits are called biscoito and they say it's bolacha. And since when we hate each other?
When did that happen? Did that happen like 50, 60, 70 years ago?
I don't know, but this is a war going on. So,
oh, man. I'm sorry. My folks in Sao Paulo, I love all y'all. I got so many different people.
No, they're great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're great. I even had a speaker ask me, if I have the opportunity to go to speak in Rio or speak in Sao Paulo, what should I do? I say definitely go to Sao Paulo because they are bigger when it comes to business. They are a city that works well.
Ooh,
and it's
okay.
Good. Open city for these kind of things. So definitely go to Sao Paulo if you want to work on your entrepreneurship. It's the best take.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about Estonia.
So I am, we fight a little because we have beaches. They say we're lazy. We say they are jealous because they don't have the beaches. So, and we are biscoito. They are bolacha. We kind of hate each other, but I can recognize what they do better than we do.
Hey, see, that's the love. You know, there's a lot of surface love, but deep down inside, there's always the soft part.
That's oh, the way it man. Is.
Awesome. All right, guys, with that being said, man, I hope you enjoyed the CSL podcast. If you did, thank you very, very much. Ariane Del Melo, thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful long chat.
Thank you so much. It was fun. It was very fun.
You're very welcome. So, guys, if you liked it, share it. If you shared it, that means you liked it. That means you get a resounding thank you from me. And as always, man, I'm your host, the Chocolate Man, the only man, Arsenio. Stay tuned for more. Over and out.